Welcome to the November 2016 edition of Judson New England Journal, the rather curious monthly musings of Judson Hale, the editor-in-chief of Yankee Magazine, published in Dublin, New Hampshire, since September 1935, and the Old Farmer's Almanac, now celebrating its 225th anniversary and available nationwide, wherever magazines are sold. The Challenge of New England Cooking. It's not easy to overcome a culinary reputation established over centuries. Yes, it's all changed now, thanks in no small measure to Yankee Magazine's fabulous food articles, food photography, and recipes. But it wasn't always so. In my young days, people would, when asked their impression of New England cooking, immediately refer to, quote, the New England boiled dinner, which is pretty much simply corned beef and cabbage, along with a few boiled potatoes. Fortunately, those preparing a New England boiled dinner today are more cognizant of good taste and health than during those long-ago days when New England's food reputation was being established. For instance, a Rhode Island traveler in 1704, as recorded in a book I wrote, described one cook's corned beef as having been, quote, boiled in her dye kettle, unquote. He went on to say, quote, I, being hungry, got a little down, but my stomach was soon cloyed, whatever that means, and what cabbage I swallowed served me for a cud the whole day after, unquote. No doubt New England whalers should take some of the blame. The fact they abided for months on end the meals served aboard their ships can be interpreted to mean they knew no better, either at sea or at home. One of the everyday foods enjoyed, or at least tolerated, on whale ships was something called duff, D-U-F-F, duff. It consisted of a quantity of flour, moistened with equal parts of salt and fresh water, stirred together with a lot of slush or lard, as well as yeast. The entire doughy mixture was then boiled in a bag until, as one whaleman journal records, quote, it can be dropped from a top-gallon cross-dress upon the deck without breaking, unquote. Another reference to duff describes it as, quote, not only indigestible, but difficult to masticate, and more fit to be used as a shot for storming ports and towns than to be eaten. Furthermore, if mental associations have something to do with taste, then New England's choice of names for some of its dishes have been, let's say, I don't know, unfortunate. Leaf through some of the old-time New England recipe books and you'll find the likes of mud pie, burnt leather cake, bumpy stew, nameless and lazy white pickles, and so forth. One notices innumerable mistakes in these old recipe books, too. Typical is a recipe I found in a 19th century Vermont cookbook for making a lemon cheese sandwich. Trouble was, it neglected to include the cheese. Thus, the reader was left with two damp, sour pieces of bread. Nothing much to enhance New England's culinary reputation. Today, Yankees editors test each recipe and proofread again and again and again, virtually eliminating any mistakes. Unlike my early days. I remember, for instance, the time our printer left out a most important word in a rhubarb jam recipe. The word they left out? Sugar. So instead of creating jam, our readers found themselves with a sort of astringent rhubarb soup, which prompted one disgruntled New Hampshire lady to add a postscript to her letter pointing out the omission of sugar. All your Yankee recipes, she wrote, give me gas. I recall writing her back saying, I'm so sorry. What else could I say? Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And do check out some of the scrumptious recipes in the November-December Yankee Magazine. We've come a long way, baby.